Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th chapter, text 20 and 21. I'll read text 20 and the translation, and then we'll do 21. Gomitrena snapayitva punargo rajasar bakam raksham chakruscha sakrita dvada sangeshu namabihi. Gomutrena, with the urine of the cows. Snapayitva, after thoroughly washing. Punaha, again. Go rajasa, with the dust floating because of the movement of the cows. Arbakam, unto the child. Raksham, protection. Chakruhu, executed. Cha, also. Sakrita, with the cow dung. Dvadasha, angeshu, in 12 places. Dvadasha tilaka. Namabihi, by imprinting the holy names of the Lord. Translation: the child was thoroughly washed with cow urine and then smeared with the dust raised by the movements of the cows. Then different names of the Lord were applied with cow dung on 12 different parts of his body, beginning with the forehead, as done in applying tilak. In this way, the child was given protection. So just to comment on this is, very often Prabhupada, he would talk about cow dung, the cow urine, the conch shell, how all these things were considered impure, but because in the Shastra it says it's pure, therefore we accept that. And of course he would also say by analysis it's seen that actually cow dung is pure and antiseptic. In India it's no problem to accept these things, through Vedic culture over the millennia, hundreds, thousands of years. It's common knowledge. Everyone accepts it, but it's based on Shastra. But in the West, these things are completely considered absurd. When they see now things, especially with social media, sometimes you'll see devotees will put things on. I saw a video the other day, a man literally just standing under the tail of the cow that was passing urine, and he was very happily bathing there. This is not something that would go over in the West. They have no understanding of this. But Prabhupada, again and again, because this is our Vedic wisdom, he had no problem explaining these things, applying these things in our everyday life. Prabhupada very much, and I've said many times, when he saw something, as soon as he saw it, he would say things, just like talking about going to the moon. Always said they never went to the moon, because you don't have the proper visa. You can't just go to a heavenly planet. But then different things he saw in the scriptures, he said, now I'm convinced, because he saw it in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was always his foundation for all knowledge. And he would say how everything, and it's also, I see with myself, with others, especially Westerners, sometimes there's that difficulty in accepting the Vedic understanding, how it is in the Vedas. But for Prabhupada, there was no question. As soon as he saw it there, there was unflinching faith. This is This is devotee. This is the platform we need to come to. And he would say, it doesn't matter what they say, how intellectual or science, whatever it is, their whole foundation, bogus. Because what's their foundation of all their knowledge is I'm this body. I tell when I, again, first coming to India, getting climatized to India when I came with Srila Prabhupada, I got very ill for the first time. And it was malaria, I believe, but I didn't know it, and I had never been so sick before. 20 years, I had never felt like I was going to die. And I said it to Prabhupada. I said, I've never been so sick. And he looked at me with surprise. He said, really? He said, disease is our natural condition. He said, to be healthy, that's very rare, he said. Being disease is a natural condition. But as everything with Prabhupada said, you could take it on different levels. You could take it on the simplest, most practical level, meaning, yeah, sickness is there. But then later on, I started to think of what he meant when he said, because he always used words very carefully. Each word he would choose, every word that came out of his mouth, it was perfect. And that's what he said, this disease. He says, that's our natural condition. Our disease is, our whole foundation is we think we're this body. That's the foundation of everything in the material world. Everything we do, we act on that principle that I'm this body. So when he's saying we're always diseased, because we're always thinking we're this body. We take it very seriously. Prabhupada also took it very seriously, took very good care of it, but he never complained about whatever situation was going on. All right, I'll go into text 21. My temple president will get upset. Gopya sam spristas. Yes, you are leader. Blame you for everything. You're responsible. Gopya sam sprista salila. Angeshu karayo pritak. Nyasyat manyata balasya. Bija nyasam akurvata. Gopya, the gopis, samsprista salaha, touching a cup of water and drinking. Angeshu, on their bodies. Karayaho, on their two hands. Pritak, separately. Nyasya, after placing the letters of the mantra. Atmani, on their own. Ata, then. Balasya, of the child. Bijanyasam, the process of mantra nyasa. Akurvata, executed. Translation. The gopis first executed the process of achman, drinking a sip of water from the right hand. They purified their bodies and hands with the nyasa mantra, and then applied the same mantra upon the body of the child. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Nyasa mantra includes achmana, or first drinking a sip of water kept in the right hand. There are different Vishnu mantras to purify the body. The gopis, and in fact any householders, knew the process for being purified by chanting Vedic hymns. The gopis executed this process first to purify themselves and then to purify the child Krishna. One executes the process of Anga Nyasa and Kara Nyasa simply by drinking a little sip of water and chanting the mantra. The mantra is preceded with the first letter of the name, followed by Anusvara and the word Namaha. Om Namo Jast Tvavangri Avyat Mammano Manimams Tvad Januni Avyat, and so on. By losing Indian culture, Indian householders have forgotten how to execute the Anga Nyasa and are simply busy in sense gratification without any advanced knowledge of human civilization. I can repeat the translation. The gopis first executed the process of achmana, drinking a sip of water from the right hand. They purified their bodies and hands with the Nyasa mantra, and then applied the same mantra upon the body of the child. Umagina tumarandasya gananjana salakaya chaksula militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayava Bhakatamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Panchakopa Turubhischa Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adwaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Ram 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 Hari Hari. I was listening to Mukunda Dutt's class yesterday. You saw me. I was speaking to a cow this morning on the way in. I was asking the cow, yes. I was asking the cow, let me speak something nice today. So we make our desires, how we tell our desires to the cows. They're very special. And if you go out gate number 3 there, there are 2 very special cows. There's a young one, calf, older one. They're both very, very sweet. Huh? We know these cows, as we're learning here every day. Krishna, cowherd boy. Prabhupada said we know Krishna's a cowherd boy. So these cows are the residents, all the demigods. It's a wonderful thing. I read this sign every day sitting at class. Prabhupada says the whole idea is that we are ISKCON, a community to be independent from outside help. This farm project is especially for devotees. He wrote that to Yasomati Nandana back in 1976. That's some 45 years ago. This is our business. I know myself, when I joined in 1971, the first place I went, although I was from the city, Philadelphia, I went to New Vrindavan. So that was a big, big change every way in my life. I was literally just living at home, and one day I'm in the temple, shaved my head. I had to learn how to milk cows, had to learn how to fix fences on the farm. It was a New Vrindavan. They had very difficult winters there. And I was very happy there for almost a year and a half. But then I became Prabhupada's servant. And after being with him for a year and a half, traveling around the world a few times, visiting so many temples, so many cities, so much nice facility that I was again used to having, I left his service as a brahmacharya. I got married. Kirtanananda wanted me to go back to the farm. Prabhupada called me into the room. This is expertise of a pure devotee, your spiritual master. He knew I was very independently spirited. I did very well as a servant, cooking, massaging, answering the bell. It was Prabhupada. Everyone would be happy to serve him. But he came in and he read me the letter from Kirtanananda. He didn't send it to me. Kirtanananda didn't send the letter to me. He sent it right to Prabhupada, saying, okay, Shruti Kirti's leaving your personal service. Please have him come back to New Vrindavan. So Prabhupada called me in the room, and as all he did, he said, so Kirtanananda wants that you go back to New Vrindavan. He didn't say to me, you should go back to New Vrindavan now that you're leaving my personal service. You came from there. He gave you to me. So now your duty is to go back to him. He didn't say anything like that because he knew I wasn't going to go back to New Vrindavan. The farm didn't seem that attractive anymore. It was difficult. Look what we say, Prabhupada says so much, simple living. Always say simple doesn't mean easy life. It means it's very simple, very basic, bare necessities. It also means you work very, very hard. But Prabhupada did want these farm projects developed. And he mentions here, well, there are many, many things in the purport here and the translation as well, but he talks about the grihasthas. You know, back in those days, in the 70s, in the temples, you were either distributing books or you were assisting the people distributing the books. Some devotees, they distributed so many books that they had runners, right? You know, they had people that did nothing more than keep the books in a locker and bring them to the book distributor so that he didn't have to waste any time going back and forth getting all these big books, hundreds of books. So in that way, they were assisting the person distributing books. Back at the temple, I remember in Los Angeles, the book distributors, that was even better than being a sannyasi. You know, being a sannyasi was one thing. Being a book distributor, you were given a lot of attention, got special prasadam. I remember in the morning, whatever it is they wanted, and back then I remember it was prasadam was to get them very much, a lot of energy to go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. The temples themselves, they were book warehouses. BBT was there. What was the temple? Warehouse the books from the BBT. People would come see the deities, but everything revolved around book distribution. Prabhupada said, you see, one person, he said, could stay back in the temple. One person to take care of the deities. Just like he would say, you know, impossible, word in a fool's dictionary when it came to printing the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, 17 volumes in 2 months. He would say things that were seemingly impossible. One person, he said, can stay back and take care of the deities. He would come back from the morning walk sometimes. When he came back from the morning walk, that's when the deity greeting, that's when you opened the doors for the deities. Whenever time that was, it was usually right around the time, but if he came back early, imagine to pujaris, imagine Prabhupada going on a morning walk here at 6 a.m., coming back at 5 after 7 and standing there, waiting. And then he would say, 1 hour. 1 hour it takes to dress the deities. And pujaris are thinking, how can we dress in 1 hour? 30 pujaris. We can need 2 hours to do everything. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying Prabhupada said things that always made you have to do better. Always wanted to make you do more, to do better. Because that's the process of devotional service, always increasing. And then he said, we had many farms back then. Some of them are still there. In the U.S., I'm talking mainly in the U.S. and Europe. He said, and if they're not distributing books, they should live on the farm. That was his formula. He didn't give you a lot of options. Not just stay back at the temple and read his books, chant 64 rounds a day. No, he had you were helping with book distribution, or he said you can go live on the farm. I read this morning very famous quote of Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. When the book distributors, Radha Damodar Party, they came to see Srila Prabhupada in 1975. And one of the devotees, everyone, imagine, we're from the USA. Prabhupada had given us these places to come, Vrindavan, Mayapur. It was a dream. We couldn't dream such things, to be able to come to these places. And he thanked Prabhupada. He said, "Thank you, Prabhupada, so much that I could come here." Prabhupada, in his amazing, wonderful, humble way, said, No. He said, "This is your home." He said, "Mayapur is your home." He said, "The West is for two things, preaching or sense gratification." He said, "And if you're not preaching, you're engaged in sense gratification." This was Prabhupada's standard. Sometimes people ask, those who were with Prabhupada, you know, why did you leave? This was Prabhupada's standard. This is why, if you could stay with them 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years, it was a wonderful thing, because his standard was set very, very high. Everything he was doing, we read here, Nyasa Mantra, everyone knows, we do it every day. What do we do every day? Nyasa Mantra. We apply tilak on our bodies. Prabhupada did it every day. We apply the tilak. Nyasa, it says it's to touch. It means to touch. To touch the body, to mark the body. We mark and we chant the mantras. Sri Keshavaya Namaha. All 12 parts. That's what it's talking about here. He said the grihasthas, everyone was doing these things back then. Again, I see how merciful Prabhupada was. Just like he didn't say, "Go back to New Vrindavan. That's what you should do. That's your duty." That's understanding. That's the understanding of a devotee. Don't push someone in a direction that they're not prepared to do. That requires, as Prabhupada said, that requires some intelligence, how to do things in Krishna consciousness. To be thoughtful. Think, what's best for that person? Not what's best, what I think is best, where I need to plug somebody in here, plug someone in here. No, he has complete understanding of what needs to be done. This whole society, this was the one mantra how we got to do. I know I go very rarely. I do artik here to Srila Prabhupada, Guru Puja in the morning, because it's very simple. And you do your achman. But you go back there, and I watch the pujaris sometimes. They're there for like 5 minutes doing all these things with their hands. And and I think, boy, Prabhupada, he was very kind to us. He made everything very simple. He said, chant your 16 rounds. According to Vedic culture, you can't even begin chanting your japa until you've done all kinds of these nyasa mantras. Until you've prepared yourself properly, purified your body, called in all the different gods into your body. You can't even begin to do anything. Lord Chaitanya came, what did he say? No hard and fast rules. After I was with Prabhupada, second time, 2.5 years being with Prabhupada. And then I went back to Hawaii where I stayed. And then he sent me to Boston and he came to Detroit. So I traveled to Detroit to see Prabhupada. And at that time, Hari Sari was his servant. And Prabhupada gave class in the morning. And I was just one of the hundreds of devotees there, instead of being right behind Prabhupada holding the Bhagavatam, holding his glasses. I was just in the lineup as everyone was there. Prabhupada would walk by. And he walked by. It was a hallway. And of course, I offered obeisances, and I could see his feet right in front of me. So I was offering obeisances. Those lotus feet. I would think sometimes, they're always so beautiful. Prabhupada never had anyone give him a manicure, pedicure. I think about that sometimes. When did he do those things? He did it very privately. I know he did it. Of course, I massaged him every day with mustard oil, yanked his toes, made them crack, tried to make them crack. You know, that was part of the massage process. But I would look at those feet. The bottoms were soft, pinkish, very soft. No cracks at the bottom of his feet. They were truly lotus. You could put your head right in there. If he would let you could kiss those lotus feet. They were so beautiful. Without a second thought, you could just grab them and hold them. But his toenails, it's like they never grew. Because I never saw them long. But I knew he was taking care of them. Just yesterday I was thinking, I wonder what he thought, you know, like make them look really, really, have everything very nice for my disciples. They're worshiping these feet. Huh? I don't know what he thought. But I was thinking like that. He might have kept them so nice. He had that one, it was like the size of a pencil. On one end there was a little pick. I saw him put that in his ear, this little pick thing, metal. And the other end was just very sharp. And with that, that's what he would do. When I was with him, he didn't have nail clippers, so that's what he would do his nails with, his fingernails. And again, I imagine his toenails were done with that. So that day in Detroit after class, he was walking by and when I sat up and looked at him, and he just looked, and he smiled, and he said, "Chant Hare Krishna, be happy." That's all he wants, all of us. Just chant Hare Krishna, be happy. How to do that? That's another thing. He said that as well on a morning walk. I told you, I always knew when Prabhupada asked the question, whatever you say, you're going to be wrong. He asked in that way. He liked to make you wrong just so he could correct you. At least that's what I saw. That's what I thought. So we're on a morning walk in Australia, Sydney, Australia. So, there's a dozen devotees around him. Devotee, he's crooked. Or simple. And I'm beside him holding the microphone. So here we go. What's he going to say? What's Prabhupada going to say with this one? So then finally one, I think it was named Amoga. Amoga, I think, was there. What would you say? We know devotees simple, right? Simple. Simple, no desires, just wants to serve Krishna. So he said, Prabhupada, he's simple. That nod, he always did with that face. So happy to be able to correct us. Even though he could have said, if he would have said he was crooked, he probably would have looked at him and said, he's simple. But he said simple. He said, it's crooked. He said, just like all of you, he said, I've tricked you. Just chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Well, our whole lives will be trying to get to that stage where we can be happy, like Prabhupada was happy. Just serving Krishna, whatever capacity, whatever Krishna gave him, he served. He said always more and more energy would come. As a devotee, he talks about the materialist. We mentioned that this morning. That's what you read this morning, right? They can't wait. When can I go to bed at night? Go to sleep. Knock out many, many hours. Prabhupada never cared for sleeping. He was so excited He's given us so much, so many festivals. When he was here, every day was a festival. I said, I never realized when they opened this temple, I didn't realize there was a big festival going on. And we had all those Brahmins from South India. They were all doing their Nyasa mantras. And you watch the video, hands going this way, flailing. Everything has to be properly done. Every syllable properly pronounced. Otherwise, nothing will happen. Prabhupada comes and tells us, if you're not properly pronouncing, it's all right. Krishna understands your intention. How fortunate are we? Huh? We're so fortunate. He said, just do some service. Chant Hare Krishna. Follow the principles. He said, everything will be all right. I heard him say those words so many times. Just chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Everything will be all right. But he did have some rules and regulations. His mother, what did she do to protect him after he was born? She followed a certain procedure for many years until he questioned her why she was doing it. What did she do? She ate with her left hand. That was for protection of her child, right? So she was eating with her left hand until, why are you eating with your left hand? Everyone's eating with their right hand. But in order to protect the child, she'd do anything. Just like the gopis. Krishna needs the dust on his head from my feet. I'll give it. I don't care what happens to me. And that's devotee. So she was doing that for her son. So I said he did have, cleanliness was one thing that he really was very particular about. Because he was making all these Vaishnava brahmanas. He didn't ask, we had to learn so many different mantras, processes for doing our deity worship, whatever. But he did require cleanliness. That was, for Prabhupada, that was a hallmark thing. Very, very clean. What was the word he used? Summit cleanliness. You know, the mountain, just like the Himalayas, you have the mountains, you go to the top, that's the summit. So it means the topmost. So that he wanted to see with his devotees in every way, topmost cleanliness. Inside, we say inside by chanting Hare Krishna, and outside by everything we do. And he would pick out. He could pick out anything, no matter what you thought. That was also part of his sweetness. If he knew someone did everything possible to make something clean, he would find the one spot that you missed. Just to let you know, you could go more, you could go further. I told you in Atlanta, we went into the car, the devotee was so proud. It was a new car, cleaned everything. Prabhupada was going to go in the morning walk in the car. So he was very happy. He's taking Prabhupada, he's sitting in his car, spotless. And Prabhupada's sitting beside him. He could read your mind. As well as you could read your own mind, he could read your mind. And Prabhupada sat in the car, and then he just opened up. He would rub his finger, you know, look at his finger. He wouldn't even say anything, he would just like that. He always lets you know there was no end to our struggle to be Krishna conscious. But then whatever we did, he accepted. But that acceptance didn't always mean that we should become complacent. Oh, Prabhupada was okay with that. There were many things he wasn't okay with, but he didn't push it because he could see we weren't prepared to accept simple things, big things, little things. Said in Kirtan in Mayapur, Once the devotees went to India, once they went to Mayapur, the whole face of kirtan changed. Overnight, after the first festival in Mayapur. I myself was, I made recordings that I gave to Krishna Kanti, Golden Avatar Studios, it was called. That's where we would get our cassette tapes, right? The kirtans, Achyutananda Swami, different kirtans, Dinanath Prabhu. Kirtans were nothing like what was going on back in the West. And one day, devotee asked me a question about the kirtan. It was in Mayapur. I went into Prabhupada's room. I said, Prabhupada, devotee's asking about how we chant. Nittai Gaur, Nittai Gaur, Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga. I said, is that okay? He said, but they can chant Nittai Gaur Hari Bol. He said, I'll chant Hare Krishna, go back home, back to Godhead. So he had things that he wanted. He showed us everything in every way. But as things grew, it's like dancing. He would say, is this all right? Yes, it's all right. But he showed us how he liked to dance. He showed us how he liked to chant. So all these things are there. Me, he showed, pay attention, be focused, be clean. He said there were two times, I told Panchagoda about the Mahaprasadam, Rajbhog. Prabhupada would take Rajbhog at a temple. He would take the Maha. You bring that plate right off the altar, deity's plate, and put it down right on his table. And one time I didn't do it. He said he wanted Rajbhog. And for me, that was saying I don't have to spend an hour preparing everything for his meal today. He wants to eat the Rajbhog. So I'd be very happy. But then I thought at least I should heat it up. And that was a big mistake. So you just never knew. You know, if you didn't know, you just didn't know. So I'm heating it up, and the devotee said, Prabhupada wants it now. I said, yes, I'll be right there. I was heating the dal, making it nice and hot. I thought I was doing something nice. He came back a minute later, now! Prabhupada's telling him. I didn't get to hear him. Yelling, but he's yelling at me through him. Now! So then I, everything on the plate, ran in, put it down. And as usually, when you're offering obeisances, he's yelling at you. There's no etiquette for him. He has to wait till you're done offering obeisances. We would do that. Someone's offering. Then you can yell at them. But Prabhupada, no. You're down there saying prayers to him, and he's yelling at you. Don't heat up the prasadam. He said, you don't heat the maha prasadam. You don't reheat it. You just honor it. Not for your pleasure, some mundane pleasure. So everything was like that. But he had to teach us. Krishna's the enjoyer. We take his remnants. You see those beautiful videos, Prabhupada honoring prasadam. I said all these mantras that are mentioned here. Watching Prabhupada put tilak on, we say you could become Krishna conscious. Just seeing how to do it. How to do it, meditation, to realize what you're doing, marking your body, purifying with the names of the Lord all over your body. So he showed us everything. Of course, he would say everything's in his books. But also Prabhupada's person Bhagavat, pure devotees, person Bhagavat. So he showed us everything personally. He would say it was his style, how he did things. But what a wonderful style Prabhupada had, everything he did. So we have some time left. Anyone have any questions, comments about the verse or the purport?
They say Krishna consciousness is easy, but then also love of God is very, very difficult.
Yes. Remember when he was asked here in Vrindavan at Radha Damodar Temple, and Prabhupada said this, some things he said very striking. He said, if you're not happy in Krishna consciousness, you're not a devotee. If you're not happy, other times he would say, if you're not happy, you have to see what it is you're not doing. He said, because the process is scientific and it works. Sometimes it can be what you're not doing, or it can be what you are doing that you shouldn't be doing. He said, but the process works. He said it's easy. He said the determination is difficult. I think that's something we all got to experience from when we joined very early, you know, with myself. Thought, you know, it was wonderful. That went on for a long, long time, you know, for some many months, for some many years. Then you realize your whole lifetime, lifetimes we have to give to Krishna. But Prabhupada said it's a joyful process if you do it, and that's why he always arranged service. Nothing else was going on, he would plug somebody into service, even if they weren't following. If you're struggling, that's what it means. You're not following. You're not doing. You're not chanting. You're not following principles. He would engage them, find something for them to do. Because as soon as you make that connection, you can feel. I left the shelter of ISKCON temples in 1983. I was, as it says, a grahasta. I was an hour away from the closest temple, so I would go on occasion. I had a business, wife, three children, and I wasn't feeling any Krishna conscious ecstasy at all. And then one day I started writing, and it's when I began writing my book. It was 1995, and I started 10 minutes. I wrote two sentences the first day. And I actually became happy. I felt connected to Prabhupada just in that brief encounter. And each day, I was working every day, coming home, normal time. I was like 8 to 4, come home. And within weeks, I couldn't wait to get home so I could dive into this Prabhupada nectar that was right there all the time. I just didn't take advantage of it. That's what it comes down to. You just have to take advantage of what Prabhupada has given us. You know, we have people now on social media, we write all these things about Vrindavan. My wife and I show pictures of the deities, videos, live action videos walking around. They say, please pray for me so that I can come to Vrindavan. We say, just get yourself a ticket, a visa, and come. Why should I be praying for you? You pray that you want to come. You know, I know people haven't come here for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Well, it's not like it was in 1975. It is to me. It's better than it was in 1975. Right here. You don't have to go anywhere. I say it many times. I just walk across the street from MVT. Come to the temple. That's all you need. Some service. Little prasadam, see the deities, hear from the devotees. It's inspiration. So it's always, you know, things that Prabhupada said, and it's, you hear it 1,000 times. You know, just step out into the sunshine. You think, yeah, just step out into the sunshine. That's what he's saying. Instead of sit back complaining, oh, I have this responsibility, I have to do this, I have to take care of... You know, one person who couldn't come here, they had a cat. I can't leave my cat. So many excuses are there. Whether it's Vrindavan, Mayapur, or a temple anywhere around the world. Prabhupada made Vrindavan everywhere. But he made this place special. And this place is special for devotees. He wanted devotees come to retire here. And that's our business to encourage. We're encouraging. But you don't need blessings from me, from you. You need people to say, okay, I'm coming. There's no obstacles. There are no obstacles. What Prabhupada say, I kick those obstacles in your devotional service. Kick them away. So if we're not feeling inspiration, it's our own laziness. Anyone else? Yes. Sometimes if you're fortunate, he forces you. That's what happened to me. I've been forced. Locked me up here so long, I finally realized, oh, it's not so bad. I was always frightened to be here, like many. Worried about getting sick, worry about this. So many things. So much Maya. Maya has so many weapons in her arsenal to keep us from doing what's naturally what we want to do, what's naturally good for us, what will naturally make us happy. Sometimes I'm afraid to say, people say, "How?" I said, I'm happy. It's not something I was used to saying when people say, how are you? I said, oh, I'm very happy. Now I can say it. I'm very happy to be here. Happy. Don't want to go. But if he sends me away, I'll have to figure out how to be happy doing some other thing. But my desire is just to be here. So that's Prabhupada's wishes. Of course, everyone's individual. If someone's sincere, I mean, Prabhupada even gave permission. We know the story of Mayapur. Let the devotee just wants to sit and chant Hare Krishna all day on his beads. That's okay too, if we're on that level. I see people. I don't know how Panchagoda. I don't know how he manages to. I was never a good manager because everything I would see that I didn't like, it would drive me crazy. There's always, laziness is there. It's a fact of life. I'm very lazy as well. I think I do so little. I should do so much more. Prabhupada's method was to set a nice example. And somehow try to find that area that maybe someone wants to sit around and chant all day, like how many devotees chanted one round today? Something like 1,000, almost 1,000 yesterday chanted one round. So, put them in a spot where they can do what it is they want to do. Prabhupada couldn't force people. See, the process is voluntary. That's ultimately there. Vrindavan's a very special place. You have people living in the temple. You have 1,000 people living outside the temple that feel connected to the temple. That's also nice to engage them in service. Setting an example is always, Prabhupada would say, the best way. One of my godbrothers, Prabhupada's servant before me, always quotes Prabhupada saying, the rules and regulations are for you to follow, not to put them on someone else to follow. He said, it's for you. In other words, by that way, you're setting an example. And even myself in Prabhupada's personal service, he didn't push me. You know, sometimes I think it would have been nice, but he knew what to do. He would push those that were pushable. You know, he would force those that he considered surrendered 100%, sold out, would do anything he wanted. And then he would push them. But I saw them as well sometimes, saying no, don't want to do that. That to me was a mystery. He never asked me to do something I wasn't prepared to do, because he knew. But I saw him ask others to do something and they just wouldn't do it. So even with Prabhupada asking, like he said, what can you do? Who are you going to make do something? He couldn't make them do something. This is our position. Yeah? We're so stubborn. Yeah? The material world, we're all very stubborn, stuck in our ways. So to pull ourselves out requires a lot. One more? Many of these things, unfortunately, Prabhupada would say they're common sense behavior, but there's not a lot of common sense. You know, Prabhupada said, if you don't have common sense, find someone that does. What you're talking about, the plates, that's nothing compared to what I saw them doing in Eastern Europe with the plates. Because they wanted to be so suchi for the deities, they only had one kitchen, one sink. So that was for the deities. They would serve the deity, then they washed their deity plates and everything. But they were instructed by their higher-ups that you couldn't wash your plates in there. So they kept their plates in the bathroom. So I went in the bathroom. I saw all these plates and bowls and cups sitting like just 2 feet away from the toilet. And I'm saying, why are they in here? So we can't use the kitchen because the kitchen's for the deity. So anyway, Prabhupada's, you know, we have to be practical in all things. So it's our business to somehow or other try to, as you said, these things need to be spread around because there's not a lot of common sense. But he expected at least those with him to have that common sense and be brahminical in our activities. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.